नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नैषां मथिष्ठावरुरुक्रमङ्ग्रिम् स्पृशात्यनर्थापगमो यदर्था माहीयसंपादरजोऽभिषेकम् निष्किञ्चनानां नवनीतव्यावत् Unless human society accepts the dust of the lotus feet of great Mahatmas, devotees, who have nothing to do with material possessions, mankind cannot turn its attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. Those lotus feet vanquish all the unwanted, miserable conditions of material life. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse appears in Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.32. When the great sage Narada was giving instructions to Maharaj Yudhisthira, he narrated the activities of Prahlad Maharaj. This verse was spoken by Prahlad Maharaj to his father, Hiranyakashipu, the king of demons. Prahlad Maharaj had informed his father of the 9 basic processes of Bhakti Yoga, explaining that whoever takes to these processes is to be considered a highly learned scholar. Hiranyakashipu, however, did not like his son to talk about devotional service. Therefore, he immediately called Prahlad's teacher, Sanda. The teacher explained that he had not taught devotional service to Prahlad, but that the boy was naturally inclined in that way. At that time, Hiranyakashipu became very angry and asked Prahlad why he had become a Vaishnav. In answer to this question, Prahlad Maharaj recited this verse to the effect that one cannot become the Lord's devotee without receiving the mercy and blessings of another devotee. Sadhu Sangha Sarva Shastra Koi Lava Matra Sadhu Sangha Sarva Siddhi Hoi. The verdict of all revealed scriptures is that by even a moment's association with a pure devotee, one can attain all success. Purport. According to astronomical calculation, a lava is 1/11th of a second. Tulayama lavenapi nasvargam napunar bhavam. Bhagavat Sanghi Sangasya Martyanam Kim Utashisha. The value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot be compared even to the attainment of the heavenly planets or liberation from matter. And what to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This is a question, this is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 1.18.13. This verse concerns the Vedic rites and sacrifices performed by the great sages of Naima Sharanya, headed by Shonaka Rishi. The sages pointed out that association with a devotee for even less than a second is beyond comparison to 1,000 Vedic rituals and sacrifices, elevation to heavenly planets, or merging into the existence of the Supreme. Krishna Kripalu Arjunere lakshya koriya jagathere rakiyachena upadesha diya. Krishna is so merciful that simply by aiming his instructions at Arjuna, he has given protection to the whole world. Sarabhukuya tamam bhaya Srinu me paramam bacha Ishtasi me dridam iti Tato vakshamite hitam Man mana bhavamad bhakto madhyakji mam vaskuru Mam evaishyasi satyam te pratijani priyoshi me. Because you are my very dear friend, I am speaking to you my supreme instruction, the most confidential knowledge of all. Hear this from me, for it is for your benefit. Always think of me and become my devotee, worship me and offer your homage unto me. Thus you will come to me without fail. I promise you this, because you are my very dear friend. Purport. This is a quotation from Bhagavad Gita, 1864-65. We are reading today from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Madhya Lila, chapter 22, entitled The Process of Devotional Service. Herein, Srila Sanatana Goswami is approaching the Lord in the ancient holy city of Varanasi, where the confluence of the two rivers, the Varana and the Asi River. The enthusiasm and sincerity of Sanatana Goswami is a very great example for the world. We know he was in a post, something like the prime minister under the king. He had fabulous wealth, young, beautiful, most learned scholar, very, very famous, loved by all. But yet, he felt that his life was empty and useless without pure devotional service, without taking up the mission of the Lord. So the story is quite famous. Lord Chaitanya with his devotees were en route to Vrindavan. And devotees really didn't know what was happening. They were just so totally immersed in Sankirtan. When the Lord would lead Kirtan, they didn't know whether they were going north or south or east or west. It didn't matter. They were with the Lord and the Holy Name. So Lord Chaitanya led them in a route which really was very indirect, quite out of the way from Vrindavan, and took them right to Ramkeli, which happened to be one of the capitals of the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was a Malecha king who hated Hindus and outlawed any public practice of Hinduism or any Vedic rites, we may say. So why would Lord Chaitanya want to bring them there? And by that time, there were millions of people in the Sankirtan. Everywhere he went, people just left everything to join it. So there was a grand kirtan in Ramkeli. And ultimately, even Nawab Hussein Shah, just hearing about the Lord's dancing and singing, his heart melted. And he proclaimed that no one should disturb this Sankirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But with great effort, somehow or other, the devotees got Lord Chaitanya to stop the kirtan. It went on for days without stop. There was no consideration of food or water or sleep. They were just energized by the nectar of the holy name and the association of Vaishnavas. But when finally kirtan stopped, late at night, Lord Chaitanya sat in a very, very lonely, quiet place where there is a kadamba tree and a tamal tree growing beside each other, representing Radha Shyam Sundar. And it was there that Dabir Khas and Sakar Malik, who later became known as Rupa Goswami and Sanatan Goswami, approached the Lord and displayed the most profound qualities of humility. They were weeping and crying, considering themselves so fallen, so lowly. And it was not artificial. They were revealing their hearts with such words, considering themselves really the lowest, the most fallen, and the most undeserving, but just begging hopelessly and helplessly for mercy. Lord Chaitanya cried, "Pick them up. Your humility is breaking my heart. Please don't speak anymore." Well, that's powerful, to break the heart of the absolute truth by your humility. So yes, this was the qualification that Rupa and Sanatan first manifested that pleased the Lord so dearly. Lord Chaitanya later said, "When I met Rupa and Sanatan, their humility was so deep, so genuine, that I knew that they will be receptive to be the instruments of my teachings." So our sampradaya is known as Rupanugas. That means we must understand transcendental knowledge not only by hearing from the teachings of Rupa Goswami, but by following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. So before we can actually be receptive, before our heart is really a fertile place for the seed of transcendental knowledge to really take roots and grow, this is the preliminary qualification, this type of humility, this type of submissiveness before the Lord. So we know the story, how Lord Chaitanya gave them their names, accepted them as his own, and essentially instructed them that their idea was very good, that they should give up their government services and go to Vrindavan, where he had very, very important mission for them. He told Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami later, that "My mother wants me to stay in Jagannath Puri, so I must honor her wish. So I am empowering both of you to go to Vrindavan and there to establish beautiful temples and deity worship, to discover and excavate the holy places of Krishna's pastimes, to extract the essence of all the revealed scriptures, pure unalloyed devotional service to Radha and Krishna in Vrindavan, and write books that will glorify the perfection of life and give guidance to humanity, and to teach by your example the perfect behavior of a Vaishnava and those in the renounced order of life." So Rupa Goswami, he took this very seriously, as did Sanatan Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, he just left. He wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya and said, "I'm giving up everything, I am going." But Sanatan Goswami, due to circumstances, he was not able to go then. So Rupa Goswami with Anupam, they had left. And on their way to Vrindavan, they met Lord Chaitanya coming back from Vrindavan at Prayag, where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed Rupa Goswami at the Dashashvamedha Ghat on the bank of Jamuna Ganga for 10 days. Sanatan Goswami,
He just had...
He had Brahmins performing yajñas for the benediction of escaping from all his material wealth and prosperity and fame.
Well, that's not ordinary.
That's usually why people have Vedic yajñas.
Yes.
Because they want family, they want prosperity, they want success and fame. He had all that in massive proportions. And he had Brahmins performing yajñas to help him escape from those things.
Hare Krishna. And ultimately, he just took sick leave from the king and was listening to Srimad Bhagavatam.
And he was caught. The king sent, why is, I can't rule the kingdom without Sanatan Goswami's help.
So a doctor went to see him, came back, he said, he's not sick, he's just reading Srimad Bhagavatam with devotees all day.
So the king, the Nawab, comes and sees.
And there was a very nice exchange of words. And in the end, the Nawab Hussain Shah was so angry, he put Sanatan Goswami in prison.
This is determination, Dhritavrata.
Most common devotees, they're always looking for some material benefits to increase their worldly life while they're simultaneously, you know, sprinkling it with some bhakti. But Sanatana Goswami, he had everything. And his dedication to Lord Chaitanya, he was happy and willing to go to prison.
He practically told the Nawab Hussain Shah to put him in prison.
Nawab Hussain Shah said, I'm going to punish you if you don't do your work. And Sanatana Goswami said,
you are representative of the king, of the Lord. You are the king. You can do whatever you like with me. But my heart is now been given to Krishna.
So he was in prison. And there's a very creative way in which he escaped from prison. With the help of Rupa Goswami, he bribed the jailer and told him,
tell the king that I went to Pastool. And at that time on the bank of the river, I jumped in the Ganga with my balls and chains and I drowned.
And meanwhile, you will get great pious credits because I will go to the holy city of Mecca for pilgrimage.
And then he gave him gold coins. And the jailer said, yes, I am a very pious person. I will do this.
So he escaped. And here he was from the prime minister living lavishly in opulence to a convict, an escaped prisoner, running and hiding from the law, in total poverty. He had nothing. Yes? He had a few coins, but he gave that to his servant and told him to go home. He was all alone, going through jungles and forests. And ultimately he comes to Varanasi. And when he comes to Varanasi, he saw something quite incredible. He saw Lord Chaitanya. And there Lord Chaitanya instructed Sanatana Goswami for several months in the science of devotional service near the Manikarnika Ghat on the bank of the Ganges. And again he's approaching Lord Chaitanya in this very, very sincere state of humility, utterly submitting himself to the feet of the Lord. One of the wonderful things he said is, people say I'm a pundit, I'm a learned scholar, and I am such a shameless fool that I believe them. Although I do not know who I am or where I'm going or who is God or what is my relation or why I'm suffering the threefold miseries of material existence, please instruct me. Lord Chaitanya was so deeply moved by his submissive, humble behavior that he told Sanatana Goswami, I am going to reveal everything to you. and began his teachings.
First teaching, Jivera Swarupoi Krishnera Nitya Das,
that every living entity is the eternal servant of Krishna. And he's speaking in very eloquent and even technical terms about the science of devotional service.
In today's verses, Lord Chaitanya is revealing the absolute importance, necessity of properly associating with great devotees. In today's verses, he is quoting from Prahlad Maharaj. Naishamatis Tavarudukramangin. Prahlad Maharaj, 5-year-old child, is speaking to Hiranyakashipu, who is the king of the universe, whose younger brother was Hiranyaksha. It is described by Shukadeva Goswami that Hiranyakashipu was so powerful that if he just raised his eyebrow in anger, the demigods would shake in terror. Now what happens when you or me raise our eyebrows? Nobody cares. The demigods don't even take note. Even the insects have no concern. So can you imagine this man's power? Just by the raising of his eyebrow, the universe is trembling. Hare Krishna, a fearful person. And he directed all of his anger on Prahlad. Prabhupada is explaining the circumstances. Hiranyakashipu is asking, "Oh Prahlad, my favorite son, what is the best thing you learned in school?" Sadhu manye suravarya dehinam. He's saying that the best thing I learned in school is my father, oh best of demons, which is actually a glorification of him. He said that one who is completely immersed in the deep, dark well of household life should give it all up and go to Vrindavan and surrender to Krishna. That's what you should do, my father. Hitvatma patam grihamanda kupam vanam gato yadharim ashrayeta. Hiranyakashipu did not like that. So he called for teachers and teach him the right thing. The teachers were teaching and they threatened Prahlad and they tried to intimidate Prahlad in so many ways. And Prahlad just was so polite, was so respectful. He just honored his teachers and sat in the classes. And they thought, now he's cured of this disease of illusion. And they were very happy to bring him to the mother, and the mother decorates him very nicely with perfumes and fine clothes and ornaments and present him before father. And the father sees little Prahlad. Even though he was such a great demon, still he was very, very attached to his son. He picked up Prahlad and put him on his lap and smelled his head, and tears of affection were flowing from Hiranyakashipu's eyes. He said, "Oh Prahlad, tell me, what have you learned in school?" Matirana Krishna Paratashvatova Mitopipedyete Vigrihavratana Madanta Gopira Shatam Tamishram Puna Punash Charvata Charvananam. My dear father, if one wants to know Krishna, the goal of life, one has to give up sense gratification. Otherwise, there's no possibility. And my dear father, your whole life is simply chewing that which has already been chewed in the form of material enjoyment. Hare Krishna. Sravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Dasyam Sakma Sravanam Sravana Kirtanam Smarana Bandhanam Padasevanam. He explained these are the 9 processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Vishnu, remembering Vishnu, offering prayers to the Lord, worshipping the Lord, becoming the servant of the Lord, becoming the friend of the Lord, surrendering everything to the Lord.
This is what a great learned scholar will do. Hiranyakashipu was outraged. He was outraged. Where are you learning these things? What is this nonsense? But Prahlad, that little Prahlad, was so fearless, he then quoted this verse. That my dear father, you'll never understand what is the perfection of life, what is truth, who is Krishna, unless you bathe yourself by showering the dust of the feet of the great devotees who are not attached to any material possessions upon your head. Hare Krishna. It was at that point that Hiranyakashipu told Prahlad, today you die. Kill him by any means. Destroy him. If one has a diseased limb on his body, if he doesn't cut off that limb, that disease will spread and destroy the whole body and kill one. Even though he's born of my body, he's my relative, he must be destroyed. He has given his heart to my enemy. Haribo. Well, Hiranyakashipu did not like this. But as devotees, this is one of the most beautiful verses ever spoken in the history of creation. Unless human society accepts the dust of the lotus feet of great personalities, devotees, who have nothing to do with material possessions, mankind cannot turn its attention to the lotus feet of Krishna. Those lotus feet vanquish all the unwanted, miserable conditions of material life. Rupa Goswami explains that without the association of such devotees, all the other aspects of devotional service cannot be properly executed. It is the foundational basis of all of our spiritual progress, the association of devotees. And Srila Prabhupada so graciously explains in this purport what it means to bathe oneself with the dust of the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas. Prabhupada explains that in answer to this question, Prahlad recited this verse to the effect that one cannot become the Lord's devotee without receiving the mercy and blessings of another devotee. So bathing oneself with dust of devotees doesn't mean just grabbing dust. I've personally seen where devotees try to grab each other's dust. And in one incident, I will not mention names, they were so eager to grab dust that one of them literally broke the other one's knee in the process. And the poor Vaishnava was on crutches for 8 weeks with a cast on his leg. After that very humble devotee took the dust from his lotus feet. So we see in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela, they would take dust from each other's feet. Sometimes they would fight also. But it wasn't a wrestling match. Sometimes when devotees do it, it's not really to humble oneself, it's to show that I can defeat you. I can get your dust, but you can't get my dust. It's like some sort of a devotional cricket match or something. But no, they're actually just really, they really want to just totally humble themselves and submit oneselves to the other. Like Lord Chaitanya, he would always like to take the dust of the lotus feet of Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu. And Nityananda Prabhu and Advaita Prabhu would try to take the dust of Lord Chaitanya's lotus feet. Now when Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda Prabhu would try to get dust from each other's feet, usually neither one could get it. Because they were so both equally matched. But poor Advaita Prabhu, he was Mahavishnu, but he was old in this Leela. And Lord Chaitanya would always win. And Advaita Prabhu was always very unhappy. Why was he unhappy? Because it's not just taking dust, it's what it symbolizes. What it really symbolizes, if I'm taking the dust of your feet, that means I'm submitting myself. I'm actually surrendering myself as your servant. And by giving the dust of your feet, you're accepting me as your servant. Now, Lord Chaitanya would go to get Advaita's dust, and Advaita was just trying to resist. But he could not resist, because Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was all powerful. So there are many wonderful stories on this subject. One day, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in a state of ecstatic love, and he fell unconscious, and Advaita Prabhu took the opportunity. And he literally just, everyone was watching. Lord Chaitanya was in an internal state of ecstasy, laying on the ground. And Advaita Prabhu took the dust of Lord Chaitanya's feet, and he just took the opportunity. He smeared it profusely on every single limb of his body. And he was weeping and crying in ecstasy. Then Lord Chaitanya got up and said, "Begin kirtan." They began kirtan. Lord Chaitanya stopped the kirtan. He said, "I'm not feeling any joy in this kirtan. Did somebody take dust from my feet?" And he looked around and the devotees were silent. Why were they silent? They didn't know what to do. It was very difficult. Lord Chaitanya was really serious. "Did anyone take dust from my feet?" And Advaitacharya is the leader of all the Vaishnavas, the senior most. So none of the devotees wanted to tell on him. Because they knew Lord Chaitanya would be very angry. At the same time, nobody wanted to lie to Lord Chaitanya. So what would you do in that situation? Tell on the senior most Vaishnav and get him in trouble, or lie to the Lord? That was the predicament the assembled devotees were in. So they remained silent. And Advaitacharya, he spoke up. He said, "I stole that dust." He said, "If a wealthy man keeps his property very securely protected, then when he's sleeping or not at home, then the thief will come and steal it." He said, "You are accepting everyone as your servants. You're accepting even betel nut sellers and banana leaf sellers and atheists, and drunkards, and even this avadut Nityananda. You're accepting everyone as your servants, except Srivas and myself." What did he mean? Because Lord Chaitanya was always honoring them and taking dust from their feet because they were his superiors, according to Vaishnava etiquette. But Advaita Prabhu wanted to teach that there's nothing greater than just being the servant of the servant of the servant. Material life, people want a high position, but in a spiritual life, everyone wants the position of the menial, humble servant. Now, for most people, if someone like Lord Chaitanya was honoring you, worshipping you, and taking dust from your feet, that would be very prestigious. But Advaita Prabhu hated it. He wanted to be punished by the Lord. He wanted the dust of the feet of the Lord. So Lord Chaitanya got embarrassed and then went to take the dust of Advaita's feet, and Advaita could not stop him. After again and again, that's when Advaita Prabhu finally decided, if the Lord's going to accept me as his servant, he has to publicly punish me. Then everyone will know I'm his servant. But how to get the Lord to punish me? He honors me as the godbrother of his guru. Lord Chaitanya honored all his guru's godbrothers in the same way he honored his guru, because this is Vaishnava etiquette. The god sisters also. I don't know if he had god sisters, but in our tradition, it is the same principle. So he decided, if there's one thing that will get him so angry that he'll just forget about me being his guru's god brother, it is if I preach Mayavad philosophy. So he just came to that conviction and told Haridas Thakur his plan and went back to Shantipur and started studying the Mayavad philosophy and started preaching so enthusiastically. He got a large following. And you know the rest of that story. Lord Chaitanya really, really accepted him as his servant. He came to Shantipur. Advaita! Advaita! Actually, he came out of the Ganges with Nityananda. They actually floated all the way from Lalitapur to Shantipur. And Advaita's preaching Mayavad. And then when he saw Lord Chaitanya coming, he became so enthusiastic, he started preaching with greater power and greater enthusiasm, and the volume of his voice increased like anything as Lord Chaitanya was coming closer. The Lord, hearing it, was so pained. He just... Advaita! You tell me, at this moment, of the two, which is better? Impersonal, speculative knowledge or devotional service? And everyone in the class was in rapt attention, completely silent. What's going to happen now? Lord Chaitanya's eyes were red. He was trembling. And Advaitacharya just looked at him right in the eyes and with tremendous emotion and animation, in a loud voice, he said, of the two, impersonal speculative knowledge is always superior to devotional service. Devotional service is like a mirror, but impersonal speculative knowledge is like the eyes. What is the use of a mirror without eyes? Impersonal speculative knowledge is the basic foundation and source of everything, and it's the ultimate perfection of life. Devotional service is completely depending on speculative knowledge for its existence. Lord Chaitanya jumped right up to the raised platform where Advaita was publicly speaking and grabbed Advaita by the hair, threw him to the ground, and punched him. Hare Krishna. He was slapping Advaita. And he was crying out, Nara, Nara, Advaita, what are you doing? I was peacefully sleeping in the ocean of milk, and your loud, loud cries were calling me to come down to establish devotional service in this world. The world's already filled with monistic, impersonal speculation. You cried for years with tears. Please come and purify and save the world by establishing pure, unalloyed devotional service. And on the basis of your call, I came down. And now you're speaking against devotional service. And as he was slapping Advaita Prabhu's wife, was crying out, please stop, don't hit him, he's an old man. He will not survive. And Lord Nityananda Prabhu was laughing. And Haridas Thakur was really frightened. He was just standing in the corner, watching, like, what's happening? And after being sufficiently chastised and beaten by the Lord, Advaitacharya leaped in ecstasy and started dancing all over the house. He said, where are your flattering words now, my Lord? Where is your glorification and your honor? Where is your touching my feet and taking dust? Today you have accepted me as your servant, Hari Bol. Chaitanya became very quiet. And ultimately, Sita Thakurani, Advaita's wife, brought out a big feast and they had nice prasad. So in this way, this taking of dust of the feet is a very, very deeply symbolic expression. It really means submitting oneself as the servant of the servant. It really means, from the heart, pleading for mercy and blessings. And without that attitude toward the Vaishnavas, it is impossible, according to Lord Chaitanya and Prahlad Maharaj, to achieve the lotus feet of Krishna and be freed from the unwanted, miserable conditions of material life. So in the next verse that we are reading today, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is following Sadhu Sangha, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Sastakoi, Lava Matra, Sadhu Sangha, Sarva Siddhi Hoi. The importance of associating with devotees. Even 1/11th of a second of the association of devotees, one can attain all success. A moment's association with a devotee is more precious, more valuable than attainment of the heavenly planets, liberation from material existence, what to speak of material prosperity. To the degree we could actually really appreciate the association of devotees, we're going to become dear to the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explained that appreciation is an act of the love of the heart. When you appreciate someone, that's actually an expression of love. Therefore, bhakti really begins when someone appreciates a devotee, Krishna, the holy name, or any other aspect connected to devotional service. Appreciation is a very, very essential expression for a Vaishnava. When we can appreciate other devotees, that appreciation is accepted by Krishna as an offering of love. That really is what it means to associate with devotees. To appreciate the devotees in a spirit of servant. In fact, for those who are in knowledge of reality, at every stage of our spiritual life, we are completely dependent on the mercy and the blessings of Guru and Vaishnavas. Therefore, Lord Chaitanya wants to teach that there's no wealth in all of creation equal to the association of devotees. One of the most unfortunate tragedies of life is when we think anything else is more valuable. When we invest our time in pursuing something else at the expense of the association of devotees. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and our Gaudiya Vaishnava literatures give so many beautiful explanations of the power of the association of devotees. In this particular segment of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Lord Chaitanya teaches Sanatana Goswami and the world through the story of Magrari. Magrari was a very cruel-hearted hunter. It didn't satisfy him just killing animals. He wanted some spices on that feast. A hunter finds satisfaction killing, but to add to flavor, he would kill the animals exceedingly slow, so they were tortured, screaming, howling, and flapping in pain. And he would just find great happiness watching them die at his hands. Hari. What kind of a person is that? But just by a moment's association with Narada Muni, Magrari became such a pure-hearted Vaishnava. He was constantly chanting the holy names, constantly serving in great humility his guru and the Vaishnavas. And at that point, he would not even be impolite to an ant. Hare Krishna. That is the power of association. And Prabhupada, he came to a whole civilization of Murgraris. And how many devotees? So many people's lives were transformed simply by his association. Devotees asked Prabhupada, what is our qualification to get this highest revelation of spiritual knowledge? Prabhupada said, you had no qualification. You have no qualifications. I made your qualifications. No, Prabhupada was not speaking with any false pride. In all humility, he was just speaking the truth. None of you had any qualifications to get Krishna. I made your qualifications. What that means is what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was saying here. Because we associated with a devotee and we took the dust of the feet of the devotee in the spirit that devotees wanted to serve him and received his mercy and blessings, that is our qualification. Bhakti Vinod Thakur and his beautiful bhajan to his spiritual master, he says, your mercy is all that I am made of. Our life is depending on the mercy of Vaishnavas. To be aware of that and to appreciate that is to be safe on the path of devotional service. To disregard that and thinking, by my knowledge, by my skills, by my managerial abilities, by my sadhana, I will progress on the path of bhakti. But actually, all of our knowledge and all of our sadhana are all means by which it helps us to access the mercy and the blessings of Krishna, which is coming through his devotees. So at every stage of life, we're dependent on the mercy of the devotees. The first offense to the holy name is to blaspheme the devotees. Lord Chaitanya speaks in Chaitanya Bhagavat that Krishna loves his devotees so much. The name of Krishna is none different than Krishna. Lord Chaitanya says, if you offend devotees, if you criticize devotees, then the name will punish you. As you're chanting the name will punish you. Arivo. It's not that you can offend Vaishnavas and then chant and think it's all right. It's an offense to the name. And if you offend the name's going to reciprocate and give you a good lesson. So does that mean if we're offending Vaishnavas, we should stop chanting? No, it means we should chant and not offend Vaishnavas. Does that make sense? And in this instant, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he very loudly proclaimed a very simple process. Would you like to hear? He proclaimed very loudly in this particular leela. It's actually the leela after he showed his love for Advaita. He said that one will attain supreme perfection if one just does two things. Chant the holy names and not criticize devotees. The Lord actually made it that simple. But it's not so simple. He said, just chant the holy names and do not criticize devotees. Of course, in order to chant the holy names properly, the regulative principles and all of those things are very important. But these two principles are cardinal, prominent, and necessary. These two principles have to be put very, very high. Nothing should be higher than them. That was Lord Chaitanya's meaning for saying this. You will attain supreme perfection if you just chant the holy names and do not criticize devotees. Rupa Goswami tells that what is basic symptom of a person who knows Krishna? That they don't even have any tendency to find faults in others. Sometimes as a doctor, to protect people or to cure people, you have to point out diseases. But it's not with a fault-finding mentality. It's in a spirit of compassion. Sometimes acharyas, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, sometimes they would be very strong to eliminate misconception and hypocrisy. But they didn't criticize. They weren't fault-finding. They were like compassionate physicians, just giving a diagnosis to protect us and to help us. But if there is an even a trace of inclination toward fault-finding in our hearts, when we criticize, we're committing offense. I stand to be corrected. Lord Chaitanya said, do not criticize others. That means really anybody. Not just devotees. Chant the holy names and do not criticize others. Amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Offer all respects to others. Don't expect respect for oneself. Chant Harinam always. So this is how the Lord wants to emphasize the great importance of association with devotees. In the spirit of servitude. Association of devotees can be learned by the great souls. They're always eager to serve one another. They're always eager to appreciate one another. They're always eager to help one another in whatever way according to the need. And for the great pure devotees, even a moment's association is more precious, more valuable than everything and anything in the whole creation and beyond. So how do we associate with Prabhupada? By being the servant of the servant of his servants. By taking his instructions, hearing his lectures, reading his books, hearing his disciples, speaking his words, serving his mission. This is the way we're associating with Prabhupada. It's the most precious thing. So let us take this very seriously. Narottam Das Thakur, there's a beautiful story where he was preaching in Khetri Gram. And there was one very learned, high-class Brahmin who considered Narottam Das Thakur and his devotees very dangerous people. Because in those days, the society in Bengal was quite ritualistic and quite caste-conscious. And Lord Chaitanya really broke through all materialistic misconceptions in this regard. He made the Namacharya Haridas, who was an untouchable by caste. Narottam Das Thakur was Kayasta by class. Kayastas are considered Kshatriyas by some and Shudras by others. And he was initiating, and people were coming, even Hari Ram and Ram Krishna. They were the sons of Shivayacharya. Very, very powerful tantric Brahmin. Very influential, very wealthy. And they came to buy some little baby goats and lambs. Hundreds of them. For his father to sacrifice before the altar of Goddess Durga. And while they were there, Ramchandra Kaviraj and Narottam Das Thakur were just talking amongst each other in such a way that they could hear. And they became attracted. And they came to Narottam Das Thakur and Ramchandra Kaviraj. And within just a few minutes, they preached to them. And these two small boys surrendered to him. Yes, they both took initiation. They got trained up. Then they went back to their father. And true, their father was angry. Consider, you're totally destroying the whole reputation of our family dynasty. These Vaishnavas are just sentimental fools. What? You took initiation from a Kayasta? Look at me, your father. I'm a Brahmin. It's nonsense, crazy.
crazy. You think your philosophy is so good? He brought him to the court of the pandits, very learned Brahmins. And these two children, Ram Krishna and Hari Rama, totally defeated them in a matter of minutes. And they turned to their father and said, "These Vaishnavas are very strong. We don't know what to say." So he called Digvijay Pandit, Murari from Mithila, and he came. And somebody that the two of them, that these two boys preached to, defeated him. Hare Krishna. Very powerful. So there was another Brahmin from Gamvila, the head of the whole Brahmin community, Ganga Narayan Chakravarti. Just by seeing what the association of Lord Chaitanya did to these two boys, his heart was completely transformed. He was thinking, I'm a scholar of all the now Vedas, perfect Sanskrit learning, but I've totally wasted my whole life unless I get the dust of the feet of Narottam Das Thakur, which means unless he accepts me as his servant. So he was weeping and crying. And he had a dream of seeing Narottam Das Thakur. He was actually crying all night long, all day long. My life is totally wasted without the association of Narottam. I want to be like these children and get his mercy. And he was the most highly respected scholar. And sure enough, the next day, Narottam Das Thakur appears. And he gradually gave Ganga Narayan Chakravarti initiation. He became a great devotee. Now, you know what happened in the Brahmin community when Ganga Narayan Chakravarti, very famous scholar, high-born Brahmin, takes initiation from a Shudra? Oh, it was horrible. There was so much blasphemy going on. So one Brahmin was blaspheming the Narottam and his devotees like anything. And guess what happened? Any guess? Leprosy. He got leprosy. Not just a little at a time. Yeah, he just woke up and his whole body was in advanced stages of leprosy. He was on the verge of death. All of his limbs were just rotten with worms eating, and it was just pus coming, and his fingers were falling, and his nose was falling, and his toes were falling. And in that state, he realized, I shouldn't have criticized the Vaishnavas. So he came to Narottam Das Thakur in the temple room of Lord Gauranga in Khetri Gram. And he said, Narottam Das, with this mouth I have blasphemed you, and I have blasphemed your devotees. Please save me. I repent. And Narottam Das Thakur told him, just chant Hare Krishna with me. And Narottam Das Thakur started chanting, and he started chanting. And then Narottam Das Thakur said, dance! Harivo. And as he was singing and dancing, all of a sudden he saw his fingers growing and his toes growing and his nose was growing, and all as he was singing and dancing, all the leprosy practically just melted off of his body, and within minutes he had a beautiful golden complexion dancing in ecstasy. He fell at Narottam Das Thakur's feet weeping and crying. And that day accepted initiation. Hari. That is the power of the association of great devotees. And that is what Srila Prabhupada did for all of us. And to be the servant of the servant of such devotees is our life and soul. Yesterday the son of one of our very Radha Priya, Rohini Nandan Prabhu, their son, Ramai, left this world. Whenever a Vaishnava leaves this world, it is a very heartbreaking experience for all other Vaishnavas. Everyone, please pray for to Radha Gokulananda and Prabhupada to show
special causeless mercy upon this young Vaishnava by praying for the upliftment and welfare of other devotees. Our heart becomes purified as well, and Krishna will always hear our prayers. His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, I'm sure you all know, one of the most empowered, surrendered devotees in the history of our society. He is in a very difficult condition of health. Very, very severe advanced state of cancer. And tests are coming. Does this have to happen to devotees before we could really appreciate what they mean to us? We should all really, really from our hearts and souls be praying to Radha Gokulananda and Prabhupada. If it is their desire, please restore the health of Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj. Those beautiful kirtans, his incredible dancing, his powerful lectures, his insightful books, and his just wonderful compassionate nature is such an inspiration for every devotee throughout the world. It was here at Bhaktivedanta Manor that Prabhupada revealed who Bhakti Tirtha Swami really is. You know the story. When Prabhupada was in Vrindavan, in the pastime of leaving this world, he said, what gives him life, what gives him nourishment, the most effective medicine for him was hearing about the preaching activities of his devotees. And Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj, who we are all suffering deep separation from, he would personally read each day the scores of the book distribution for Prabhupada. And Prabhupada would become so enthusiastic to hear about the compassion of his devotees. But there was one letter that would come regularly from one devotee that gave Prabhupada the most inspiration. Ghanashyam Prabhu. He was risking his life, his health, his everything behind the Iron Curtain, distributing Prabhupada's books. And the way he did it was extraordinary. It was just so creative and so... It was unconventional the way he was doing. He would just be climbing mountains and running from the police and escaping from prison somehow or other. He just never gave up from getting those books, and Krishna was empowering him in such a special way. Prabhupada would just be tasting nectar when he would hear the stories of Ghanashyam Prabhu. And Prabhupada came to London. It was his last trip out of Vrindavan. And it was here in London, upstairs, that Ghanashyam Prabhu came from out from behind the Iron Curtain and came to offer his life to his Gurudev. And when he came before Prabhupada, who couldn't hardly sit up, his health was in a state where he was just about to leave this world. Prabhupada smiled, embraced Ghanashyam Prabhu, and cried. Can you imagine? Prabhupada embraced him and cried and said, your life is perfect. Ghanashyam Prabhu later took sannyas and became Bhakti Tirtha Swami. Bhaktivedanta Manor is that place where Prabhupada really showed the world how much he loves his devotees. Those devotees who are willing to be the wholesale sold out instruments of his compassion. So here at Bhaktivedanta Manor, where Prabhupada revealed his love for this Vaishnava, let us pray. Let us pray very, very sincerely for his association. Because the association of such devotees is more valuable
the value of a moment's association with a devotee of the Lord cannot even be compared to the attainment of heavenly planets or liberation from matter. What to speak of worldly benedictions in the form of material prosperity, which is for those who are meant for death. Thank you very much.